It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here at Champy's on Baxter Street in Athens, Georgia. I am your host, Roddy DeBulsey. I am joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting guru at UGASports.com, and former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan, who is here to answer your questions, give analysis, tell jokes and funny stories, and basically eat all the wings we have here and the sausage, cheese, and pickles there. Coach, those are fantastic, by the way, if you get
a chance. Yeah, they are. I mean, Everything here is just out of sight. I'm not sure about next week if we're going to have this show on Tuesday or not. But if we have it, I'm bringing some guys in from Chattanooga to come in and eat here. Just to, guys are actually flying in here just to eat at Champ.
There you go.
That's going to be good.
Well, and next week we're going to have the Champ out here, so it'll be good. He's going to have the chicken and waffles and something he calls the Champ. Josh here at Champ's calls it. It's a fantastic meal. So tune in next week because you're going to love
chicken
to see that.
Chicken waffles, all right.
Almost got to see it to believe it.
Exactly. But as much as we enjoy being here, we also want to say thank you to our other sponsors. First and foremost, Athens Ford. Please swing out there before the 15th of this month. If you buy a new or used car out at Athens Ford, the only Ford dealership in Athens, they will buy a bicycle for a child in need. They have a bunch of them out there. Josh here, Champions, bought a Ford F-250 out there the other day, and they bought a bicycle for a young man that's very sharp. The F-150 Raptors. I tell you, those are beautiful trucks. So swing out there and pick up one of those. Nice little Christmas gift you can give me one. So, and we need one, you know, for the UGA sports purposes, you know, our travel purposes.
Purposes. That's what we have to call them for the tax write-off.
Well, it would have been nice for you to drive that down to Houston County last night.
I agree.
Well, also thanks to YourPie. YourPie is about to jump from 50 spots to, I think, like 54 actual locations. So YourPie, founded by Drew French, big UGA booster, big UGA donor, big UGA graduate. So if you were looking for a pizza, thin crust, or salads or paninis, swing by YourPie.
I went there yesterday. I actually had lunch. They have excellent cheese sticks, which I didn't even know they served.
I did not know that.
But
they were so good, it made you shave your beard.
Yeah.
This is Jake's brother today. You know? That drunk guy that's on here every week has gone out to cover some other guys. So I really hope you do better than your brother.
Yeah, that drunk's gone. But we got a new drunk here. And I wanted to say,
did you get any money from Gillette for shaving?
It was a commercial. Get with me.
Yeah,
we need a new sponsor.
Dollar
We're ready
Shave
for another
Club.
Sponsor.
Hit us up, you know. And we do have room for two new sponsors. And we want you to share this podcast, if you will, because if you do, we are going to take three people and give them one of these.
The hand of Godwin.
There's a little picture there for everyone to see it. Terry Godwin's catch there at the end. We're going to give away three of those to people who share the podcast. Might have to give that one to Josh. I don't know if we can leave with that one. I want to say shout out to 365 Game Day, where you can get all your gear if you need your UGA SEC Champions t-shirt or your Rose Bowl t-shirt or your SEC Champions hat or all that gear, the license plate cover, all that cool stuff. Get that from 365 Game Day. Yeah, big shout out to Cable East and Robert Wall and out in Statham. No, he loved that game a couple weeks ago. That was right up his alley. Of course, he doesn't really like a blowout. He likes a close game. I mean,
I think everybody liked that.
But I think in a situation like that, he didn't want to see him play Samford, but he loved watching him blow the doors off of Auburn. And I want to say, again, shout out to Founders Brewing here. The best part of my week, knocking back a couple beers from Founders.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Now we got a new drunk. Well, you just got the all-day IPA there?
That is the all-day IPA, yes.
Nice.
If you've watched the show, you know I'm a big fan of that one. Mostly because, boy, do I love to drink beer all day. and that's the right one for it.
So let's jump into the show. We're going to start off with the Athens Ford section where we talk about Jim Donnan gives us his thoughts. And normally we talk about football. We've been talking about it all week. But right now, Coach, I want you to talk a little bit about recruiting. Georgia gets a huge commitment last night in Trey Hill, 6'4", 330 pounds. I think his thighs maybe are about 28, 36 inches. I mean, he's got a huge base on him. And I just think it's a major, major pickup for Georgia.
Really is. And I think just the input that these offensive linemen, you know, are coming in here. Hopefully Salyer's coming next, and maybe Mays on top of that. But you add these to the present squad that we have, then you've got the foundation of a really good offensive line that can do so much as far as not only run blocking but also pass blocking. But I think just the fact that this guy is a Georgia, to me, the symbolism of a Georgia guy that wanted to come to Georgia means so much. And that's what has been reestablished here under Kirby Smart, where the guys that always wanted to come here have a reason to come here now because they planned for championship. Not that they weren't before, but I'm just saying it's a little bit easier to this year to go out and say, hey, we're doing it on the field. Whereas last year, a little bit up in the air, 8-5, some of the negative recruiting was, hey, you got to prove it to us that, yeah, that Georgia can win. And Georgia won on a stage that, you know, not many teams are able to do. And so now you're faced with the dilemma who to take because there's so many guys that want to come. And that's part of your job as a coach to be able to decipher who the guys might be. But I just think in the case of – it's just great to see – I'm not a big guy on Twitter, but I watch a little bit – to see a guy like Justin Fields say, hey, I love the fact you're coming to play with me. And, you know, you get those guys all together, and, Jake, you know it. You get them a good group like that. It's just builds a tremendous foundation. And I just feel very good about the guys because – old guy like me, I get a chance to look, sit around and watch with huddle and everything. You can watch these guys on tape and, you know, compare them and everything. So, you know, you hate to say guys are can't miss and like that, but from the standpoint of size, physicality, the fact that over and over when you watch this guy in group settings, whether he goes to the whatever, what all these different camps he's been to, every time you see him, he's a dominant force against players outside the realm of Georgia. I mean, when he gets into these other settings, he's just able to go out there and blow people off the ball. And you see, just amazing for us that we had two freshman All-Americans this year. I'm kind of going back and forth, but I do want to make this point. The one point that Kirby will make in the recruiting deal is we'll play you as a freshman, and we'll develop you as a freshman. Andrew Thomas comes in here, starts as a freshman, but he was a lot better at the end of the year than he was at, not just because of experience, but because of coaching and development and going against the defense. And that's what you can say to these guys. It's not a promise. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll play you, and that's what the MO is for Alabama, where all the freshmen they played. I remember when Minka Fitzpatrick played over here between the hedges and blocked that punt, you know, true freshman from New Jersey playing there. So, I mean, it's just the idea that you're going to play the best players, you're going to develop them, and our cupboard's getting ready to be pretty, pretty strong. We're going to have a lot of good canned peaches in there.
You mentioned, Coach, the this idea
pizza
of
players, man.
You mentioned this idea of you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, and like you said, there's some carryover there, I think, from what Kirby learned at Alabama, giving those guys that opportunity, how important that can be. When you look at this offensive line group that Georgia's built over the last 2 years, you know, a lot of people feel like that smacks of what Alabama does in terms of stacking those up. It seems like every year they've got, you know, depth on that offensive line. Do you think that that's you know, the mold that they're trying to shoot for here?
Well, one of the things Kirby constantly says is this is Georgia's, not Alabama. You don't want to make comparisons, but you just look at guys that come in there and play early, regardless of who they are. We've seen those guys come in, play early, and get drafted high, you know, regardless if it's Cam Robinson, whoever it might be, you know. Well, of course, Cam Robinson, I guess, was at – where was he? He's Auburn?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I mix him up with that other tackle they had. But the bottom line is, for us, we were able to redshirt a couple good linemen this year, too, I think.
Two guys I thought would play.
Well, you know, you just never know. But we've talked about the height that Wilson has to adjust, and other kid got in a little late, you know, and didn't get the full benefit of the summer program. But overall – just things are really looking good. We just got to continue to rebuild our defense a little bit. We're going to lose some good players on defense. But I would say there's a reason this guy was just selected the Sporting News Coach of the Year. Yeah. He knows what he's doing, that's for sure.
And I saw that Jim Cheney was actually named Football Scoop Quarterback Coach of the Year.
Good wow. move. Yeah. He deserves it. I mean, 2 years in a row, play a freshman quarterback, and not quite the success last year that we had this year, but the supporting cast was better this year, and the schedule was easier this year, yeah. too.
But still, I mean, to be played in the Rose Bowl for the first time in 75 years, a chance to play for a national title with a true freshman quarterback who came in 8 plays in the season. It's not like he was able to watch even the way Georgia signals in plays. He didn't get to sit back and watch a game. He had to go out there on the ninth play.
He was learning on the
ninth
fly.
Offensive play for Georgia and do it. And Jake Fromm has not shied away from anything.
Yeah, he's good at that. And I think Cheney has really shown his ability to adjust during the games, adjust with the talent level. And, you know, he's been more of a pass-first guy all his career, but he's gone around and changed a little bit with the talent level we've had, you know, with more of a running game. But I think the biggest thing with Cheney is just that plays around our defense, plays around field position, played around the kicking game. And the kicking game, any way you look at it, has been as big a part of this success as anything. Yeah. The fact that our defense has been better in the red zone, our offense, but the kicking game, monster strides in every element, you know, whatever it be, kickoffs, punt returns. We didn't get a lot of yardage on punt returns, but we took care of the ball. We dropped the one against Auburn, but I thought our kicking game was outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, I want to go back to the coaches for just a second, but when you were a head coach, did you offer scholarships to all the specialists?
Sure. I mean, it's part of one out of every 6 plays is a kick. Although I did tell Billy Bennett I didn't have a scholarship, and I said, but Billy, as soon as we get one, we're going to give it to you, because I knew he's a kicker. I mean, I watched him at Athens Academy. I knew his MO. And so he was not a scholarship guy when he got here. But, you know, and I think that's a situation where most of the time the snappers, you give them a scholarship as they develop. But the punter, I mean, we had what was his name? Kilgo.
Gordon Ely Kelso?
No.
Kilgo.
Kilgo.
Yeah,
I
mean,
Kilgo.
John Kilgo. He's a Thunderfoot, man. He looked like a ball machine coming out of there. And always had a good punter because you want to recruit him, but the old coach was a punter here in college and high school. And, I mean, that's one thing that I feel very good about, you know, the elements and the fundamentals of dropping the ball, of foot placement on the ball. All that's very important, but you got to have the leg too.
Yeah.
Guys, make sure to send in your questions today, by the way. We are going to be taking a lot of those today.
Good questions.
Yeah.
Here.
Load us up.
And give us,
we'll talk recruiting. We'll talk Rose Bowl. We'll talk.
Who's our opponent?
That would be Oklahoma. We'll talk.
We got some good Oklahoma stories.
Yeah, I hope you got some of that Barry Switzer goodness laying in the back. I've told those
but
stories
did,
from last
I
week.
I did on the kickoff. I did hear this good story today about these two guys in a bar over here in Athens, and they were both, kind of a Scottish guys. And the first guy says, "Where you be from, laddie?" He said, "Well, I'm from Ireland." He said, "From Ireland? I'm from Ireland, too. What part?" He said, "Dublin. Dublin. I'm from Dublin, too." He said, "Where'd you go to school?" He said, "Jackson Technology. Jackson Technology. I went to Jackson Technology. What year?" 1988. We're in Athens, Georgia. Two guys from Dublin, Ireland at the same school. Jackson Technology. Unreal. So this guy walks in the bar and says, "Hey, Charlie, what's going on?" He said, "Oh, it's pretty slow, but the O'Brien twins are back there drunk again."
Oh, God, now we're going to get hate mail from the Irish American.
No, hey, it's a pretty good.
No, it's a good coach. I love it. I do.
Where you be from?
I had no idea where you were going with that one.
I guess the big news of the
Forget, I got a Jim Harbaugh story for you.
Oh, too, great. So fantastic.
Brace yourself.
The big news of the day.
And get back to this. So we said about 5 weeks ago the Shea Patterson sweepstakes is going to be out there. Didn't we say that here on Facebook?
Yeah. You nailed it, Coach.
And he got a scholarship and 200,000 shares of Ford stock. It might have been General Motors.
Ford would never do anything like that.
I never will forget. A guy offered me a job at Michigan State when I was like 26 years old. And he said, we can pay you pretty good, but we can give you 2 cars. I said, you can give them to me? He said, yeah, we'll not only let you have them as dealer cars, we'll give them to you.
Wow.
That's a pretty good deal back then.
Yeah, no kidding. That'd be all right now.
Hey, I'd take it.
And we need to ask this Ford to step up.
Hey, we said Ford. We said Ford.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Hey, Athens Ford, don't be helping Ford up there with the
yeah. No, the big news, I guess, of the day, Trey Hill's commitment last night. We touched on it to open the show. Down in Houston County last night, had a chance.
You were there. You got to sit through a wonderful, enthralling
That was a Ben Hur.
I'll tell you
that movie.
I'll tell you what. This was the thing about it, and it really struck me. The old recruiting vets, the guys who watch this stuff and keep up with it religiously, you could tell who they were because they were in that Facebook Live that we had going from Houston County last night, and every one of them said, "Man, this is way worse than that Poly Prep Christmas show last year." I told the girlfriend when I got home, I said, "It's a badge of honor to sit through some of these things."
You said one that. Guy said. Said that Thomas would have been drafted by the time.
Yeah, they said he's already been inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame.
That's funny, but hey,
It's funny, you have back-to-back years where you have this really long ceremony, and then all of a sudden Georgia gets a huge offensive lineman. I don't want to say it's tough to sit through because, I mean, it was a banquet for those kids who've put in a lot of work. It was rough for them. I was glad to see some of those kids get the recognition they do. You got to see some linebackers we'll probably be looking at in the coming years.
Yeah.
So,
here's the way I feel about awards banquet, though. If you're a parent or you're a guy, that's a one-time, lifetime deal. Hey, be proud of the fact, regardless how long it lasts, everybody deserves to be recognized, the cheerleaders, the band, everybody. It's a significant moment. All of us on the periphery here, we're worried about where the guys are going to school.
Exactly.
But I can tell you this, a championship banquet or any kind of banquet is something that everybody should always just understand that you're very proud of the fact you got your letter, whether you win the most valuable player or everything. I went to one up in West Virginia one time. They gave an award to everybody in it, and they were giving out the numbers, their jerseys to everybody and say, "Hey, Roddy Nowalski, you did a great job, number 77. Jake Groose, what, number 14, you did a great job." And he had this one jersey up, and he couldn't remember the guy's name. He said, 16, you know who you are. Come up here.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
And then they had another one. He said, "We had three different guys wear this number, but Leroy, you're the last one to wear it, and we're going to give it to you."
Chris White points out, he says, all 15 kickers got an award. It did feel like, man, it felt like they had a big, big team. And I will say, we started our Facebook live stream early because when I spoke to the coach, he said, yeah, we plan on wrapping up around 7:30. I should have known better. That was on me. I know these things never run on time.
It was talking Central Time.
Yeah, right.
At least, people get to watch it. And like my son had his football banquet, and it lasted 15, 20 minutes. Everyone ate, and then the coach recognized the kids. And some of these kids, that's what they live for all year, especially if you're if you're a ninth grader on that varsity team. And Houston County had a rough season.
Yeah.
And they had those
2-8, I think.
Yeah, those kids slogged through some brutal games. They're in a ridiculous region, and they got beat up a lot. So it was good for them to have it. And then, Trey Hill at the end there announces he's going to Georgia. The place erupts.
Tremendous deal for the whole program for a guy. Can you imagine the national attention that signing thing had?
Absolutely.
The coach, hey, I don't blame him. You got to raise money. It costs a lot to play high school football.
Yeah, that was the part, though, that felt like it dragged on. It's like, okay, everybody's been nominated. Now we get a 45-minute sermon on joining the Booster Club. Okay. He's preaching to the choir because those people are all members of the Booster Club. But I almost felt like, hey, wait, I got a national audience?
Yeah. Thought we were going to have a robocall from Trump in there.
If he'd ended it with, now, go vote for Doug Jones, I would not have been shocked at all.
All right.
I will say Trey Hill walks away last night with offensive MVP honors for the team, is named a permanent team captain. Huge honors for him in both regards. And,
And who's he going to recruit now?
He is going to – well, it was actually really funny because I thought it was a little bit of a Freudian slip on his part. He said, the question came up, Trey, who's your main target now that you're committed to Georgia? He said, Cade Mays. I'm going after Cade Mays. And then he paused for a second and he goes, oh, and Jamari too. So take that for what you will. I know what I thought of. I know what I thought it meant. But
hey, well, seriously, can you imagine those three guys there in one offensive line? And I mean, that's just that's really strong.
Yeah, no question.
Warren Erickson and Owen Condon down there. That's a legit group. But I thought it was very funny that at the same time that announcement goes down, Kirby Smart and Sam Pittman are at Jamari Sawyer's house.
Yep.
And Coach Pittman sends out one of his yes sirs from what looks to be the kitchen table in Jamari Sawyer's house. So, I mean, I'm not saying it happened,
yeah,
but it sure looked like it. So,
They moved quick.
Yeah. It's funny they found the exact same wood blinds and same color scheme at some other place, you know.
The other thing he's
wearing the exact same clothes. So.
The other thing that's good about Coach Smart and keeping up with all these things that you guys do is just the fact that, of how much he's around the high schools in the state. I know when I was a coach here, it's a big deal to be the coach at University of Georgia and walk in a high school. I mean, there's a lot of secretaries, there's a lot of janitors, there's a lot of people there that love the state university, and you go in there, that's a lifetime experience for them. It takes a little while, but you know, they want to get their picks made with them and everything. Back then we didn't have the cell phones to take them, but it's just the idea that you're laying the pipe for the years to come. You know, these kids see you coming in there, and he, you know, some of these schools obviously got sophomores, junior players and all, but it's just he's a household name in these high schools, and that means a lot now. You don't have to – when he walks in a high school, I'm going to tell you what now, that's strong.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we would see this all the time when Coach Saban would show up. It was almost as if, you know, a huge A-list celebrity walked in these high schools, and every secretary, every groundskeeper, every math teacher is getting a selfie. Hey, here I am with Coach Saban. I mean, people who aren't even big into football, they know who he is.
Yeah.
Now, Kirby Smart has done his work as an assistant coach, hitting up every high school. We knew he was a big recruiter. We saw it when they landed the number three class last year. Currently, he's still the number three class?
I believe that is correct.
So they have back-to-back.
They're 30 points, I believe, behind number two, and they have two less commits.
How about those people that back in the spring that were worried about our ranking?
Yeah, let's not talk about those guys.
Were you one of them?
Yes. Well,
right. Hey, let's forget it. I don't want to chastise
you. No, it's fair. I was worried about it.
Especially when you got long pants on.
Yes, it's cold enough.
I mean, how about a guy walking in here in December griping because he has to put on long pants?
Yeah. We live in Georgia. I'm half Arab. This is garbage. It's supposed to be about 65 degrees. It's cold outside. We talked about this in, I guess it was May. When was it? It was early in the spring. No, it was April. And we were talking about Georgia's class and how they had so few commits. At one point, they had more decommits than actual commits.
True.
It had, like, I think four guys decommit and only three guys committed.
Yep.
And we said, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And we preached, don't worry about it, unless you miss on someone like, oh, I don't know, Brenton Cox.
Yep.
Then they missed on Brenton Cox. And we're like, okay, now maybe you can start to worry. And
sure.
Then right after that, they picked, you know, they picked up guys like Jay Camarda. But again, it was just very touch and go there for a while. But now, all of a sudden,
well, look who's back on the
back
market.
In play.
Look who's back on the market.
Sneaks up for a quietly, you know, I won't say a secret visit, but he comes up for a you know, unpublicized visit. We actually find him that he's here in town, and he's coming back this week for an official visit. So, but to your point, Coach, there was a while there that Georgia's class just looked scary, and people were freaking out. We tried to talk them off the edge, but then you know, they had a couple big misses. But so far, they're number three, like you said, 30 spots away from being number two. They could land, you know, Jamari Sawyer, a five-star. They could land Cade Mays, a five-star.
Brenton Cox is right on the Cox is right on the cusp.
He's 40,
34.
Yeah. 34.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're right on the edge of, you know, landing all these guys. And getting Hill, and I know for the longest time I thought it was automatic.
Sure.
Because he played with Jake Fromm.
Yep.
They are close friends. When he came up for a visit one time, I think you ran into him later or saw pictures of him and Fromm, the family hanging out after the game. Just having a high time. And I thought, this kid is coming to Georgia, no question about it. But Auburn made a very strong run at him, but he stayed home.
Yeah.
And right now, if you get Jamari Sawyer to stay home, you get Brenton Cox to stay home, you pull a kid, a Tennessee legacy, like Cade Mays to Georgia, that offensive line, now you're starting to out-recruit guys that you thought were your surefire starters 2 years ago.
Sure.
So – I've never seen a run like this. And you're going to bring in two five-star running backs together.
Yeah.
You know, you're bringing in your third five-star quarterback. You know, not sure where they're going to go with – I mean, this wide receiver class is, you know, Kearse Jackson, guys like that are highly touted. But if you look at the 2019 class, you're looking at the number one and number two wide receivers in the nation.
Oh, man, yeah. No, so, 2019 is all – I mean, it's already – there's not going to be any April hand-wringing about where that class is. You know, we're going to be, I think in April, we might be talking about, well, how far, or, you know, what else is it going to take for this class to remain at number one? Because they are tremendous.
The only thing I would say about the star rating, and this is take nothing away from the people that rate them, but if Kirby Smart offers a guy a scholarship,
he can play.
There is no question about what his star ratings are.
Yeah.
I think the star ratings sometimes are a little inflated in certain areas and deflated in others.
Oh, absolutely.
But
I mean,
as far as evaluating talent, he's always had that special ability to do that. It goes back to where he was raised. I mean, you know, if you're a high school coach's son, you know, a high school coach has to look at the guy and see him in the ninth grade and project him. Is he going to get bigger with all this? Where is he going to play? Is he offense or defense? And, you know, he's talking to his dad about all that. So that carries over dramatically in your upbringing as far as how you know, evaluate players. And we're right on the cutting edge of that, I promise you.
Well, I mean – I'll be the first to say it. I mean, Rivals, you know, every other scouting service out there is dead on some guys, and they're wrong on others. I mean, I can point to 100 guys we were wrong about, and I can point to 1,000 guys we nailed. It's just – it's a tough thing, but it's the same way with coaching staffs. Coaching staffs offer a kid, and he doesn't pan out, yeah. And you don't know how he's going to develop. So it's
– Yeah, I'm not near as worried about losing a guy as I am bringing somebody that can't play dead in a Western movie.
Yeah, because you lose a spot, and then you got to drag him along for 4 years.
If you miss many, you probably aren't winning a lot of games. You can't miss on them.
You go back to that 2013 class that Georgia signed. That class, I will say it till my dying day, is the main reason Mark Richt's no longer the head coach at University of Georgia. I mean, that there are some good players in that class, don't get me wrong, but when you signed like 33 of them, and only three of them wind up like making it being senior starters or something like that. That's just not exactly the way you want to go. That was just a huge blow. But the reason I'm bringing it up, Georgia has lost Kevin Shearer as an outside linebackers
yep.
coach, and everyone keeps asking, "Hey, where's your list of replacement coaches? You know, who are they going to get?" This is one time I'm like, "Look, I'm not worried about who Georgia's going to get as a replacement coach because I know the number of people who are calling Kirby Smart trying to get in, and he's going to make a great decision. I've been very impressed with all of his hires when it comes to coaching. I mean, the guy – and same with Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. He's made some great hires.
He's had a good staff that he's brought in there already, and they're all good recruiters. But as far as the replacing the coach, if you're any good as a staff, you're going to have guys have upward mobility, and you're going to have guys – get that opportunity. And the one thing that Kirby will do is he'll have some guys in his hip pocket that he knows about and he'd be thinking about. The other point is you're going to have an additional coach now with the 10th coach starting in January. So we really have two positions open.
And so are you applying for that, Coach?
Am I applying for what?
That 10th spot?
No, I'm not going to apply for any jobs, but I'm ad hoc.
Coach, you are a ham hoc.
I'm telling you that. I think that's going to really be beneficial to a lot of coaches around the country to be able to be that 10th guy.
You're adding another 128 position coaches. I mean, that's fantastic.
Right.
I love it for the industry.
And the other thing about it is I don't worry about 10 coaches being too many. I mean, just you watch a basketball game, I don't even know how the players get a seat on the bench with all the suits they got over there. So
that's true. They are six deep before you get to a player.
So. I would say that I think that Kirby Smart is as good of a talent evaluator when it comes to coaches as he is to players. I think that he's a guy who's got a guy as good of a nose for that.
Well, we'll see as his career progresses, that'll be important. And that's the thing about Bob Stoops. I think he has now, with Lincoln Riley being hired, I think this is the 10th guy on his staff that has become a head coach. And that's pretty good in 17 years.
You mentioned we talked about Kevin Shearer. Coach, just some of your thoughts on watching him over the years. Obviously, he's been with Georgia for several years at this point. And then, you know, how compelling that opportunity is to move from the positional coach up into that coordinator spot.
Well, I know Kevin loved it here at Georgia. You know, he's got two boys, a set of twins out there at North Oconee, and the family really liked the area. And it's a difficult situation because these guys are going to be seniors in high school next year. And you always look at what's best for you and also your family. But at the same time, when you have a chance to be a defensive coordinator in a major program like University of Tennessee and work for a guy that you've worked with so much, he and Pruitt have a background going back to a long way, you know, at the high school there in Hoover. So, but for far as me seeing him, he's a very quiet, motivated guy. He does a good job teaching on the field. He's a really good recruiter. He's good with the kids. He cares about the kids. And, you know, he was doing a very good job of knowing what his role was. You know, he augmented Kirby. I mean, that was the deal. He knew the system and that Kirby brought in there, and he's done a good job with it, with Pruitt and with Coach Tucker. And so I feel happy for him. I feel bad that we lost him, but I'm happy for the for his opportunity.
Yeah, I think it was it's certainly a loss. I think Kevin Scherer was a guy who has done well on the recruiting trail. He's developed some guys, taken some guys to that kind of next level. I remember talking to Walter Grant after the SEC championship, and he said, you know, Coach Scherer is a guy who's really taken this game and made it easy for me, helped me develop these talents. So definitely a guy I think that has played a major role in getting Georgia to this point, even under Mark Richt. I think that, you know, he was taking the steps to get Georgia to this point.
He did a good job calling the game in the bowl against Penn State.
Absolutely.
Took over. And I'm sure he would have been a guy that Mike Bobo would have looked at in a situation where he's got three jobs open right now. That's tough for Mike. He lost Coach Friend. He lost Coach Fair, his secondary coach, and his defense coordinator is retiring.
I think I do think, though, on the flip side of that, you know, we're talking a lot about losing Kevin Scherer. I think two huge keeps for Georgia, Mel Tucker and James Coley, I thought was
and Del McGee.
And Del, well, yeah, and Del. Del's Kirby needs to like chain him like to him. He's like, hey man, I like he's a protected tree or something. Yeah, I'm never letting this guy go. You're with me forever.
We need a state Congress to pass a law.
He's very
saying that
very. He's no one's allowed to talk to him when you look at what he's been able to do.
Unbelievable.
But the other thing that everybody needs to keep in mind, and I would say this about anybody when you go to work. Who is your boss? Who are you going to be working for? And who's going to be coaching you? The ultimate trump card we got in recruiting, regardless of who the area recruiter is, who the position coach is, who the coordinator is, we got Kirby going in there working them on the phone with text, working the high school coaches, working the principals, working the parents. I mean, he knows how to do it. And as much as you want to congratulate these guys for signing them, I promise you, if Kirby Smart wasn't the head coach here, we wouldn't be signing these guys.
No, I agree.
And I always used to tell these recruiters around the country that were getting too big for their britches, and none of these guys here are. I said, hey, let me see you go out here to blah, 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 and see how good you're going to recruit.
Yeah.
Hey, that G is powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You walk in there with that G in this state, you got a head start on anybody. Yeah. So do your job. And the thing that I like about McGee, he paid the price. He was a high school coach in the state. He knew what recruiting was all about based on that. He played at Auburn. And he's really taken it to a different level because of his relationship that he builds with these kids. He's kind of a really good in-between guy with some of them at other positions because he gets in there close with them early. You got to get them where they can't tell you no.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, don't give them a reason to say no.
If they can say no to you, you got no chance.
Yep. Like you said, I think it was very big to hold on to Mel Tucker. I thought that was huge. James Coley, not only a premier recruiter, but a big-time offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Knows his stuff. So
right.
When you're doing that game plan, it's not just, oh, there's our wide receivers coach. Here's the guy that's called games. So I think keeping him was a big get. I know that Jimbo Fisher wanted him at Texas A&M as the offensive coordinator. He turns it down to stay at Georgia. He's going to get a lot more offers. So will Mel Tucker. And
sure.
Like you said, Coach, you're going to have to replace those guys. It happens. But
Well, we had an either-or there. I mean, if we keep Scherer, it's because, you know, Tucker's got the job, you know, and we might Mike, who was to say that Tucker would have not taken tried him. To hire him too? Yeah. So, but Mel Tucker, let me tell you something. That is a real positive deal too, from the standpoint. People say, well, you know, he's had a background in the pros. You know, then they look at that. Some people use that negative as far as that is a tremendous advantage to go out to talk to a kid. Say, look, I can tell you what, I can get you to the league. I know what it's like. I played in it. I've coached in it. I've called plays in it. I know how to do things. And realistically, that is just huge for Kirby to have a guy like that running the defense and recruiting all these guys. I mean, that's and then you look at Kirby's resume, all the guys he's had that he's put in the league, and all these guys that are getting recruited feel like they got a chance to go to the league, although only 1% get to. But
well, it doesn't hurt for your defensive coordinator to be able to say, I know 25 current GMs. You know, these are people, you know, that I can call right now. So I think that's a big get.
We've got a question here from Brian Nash, a little off Georgia topic, but I guess kind of in the vein, too. I'm just interested to hear both of your thoughts on this. He said, can Jeremy Pruitt accomplish at Tennessee what Kirby Smart has at Georgia?
I would say he's got a good shot of doing well there, because I know his background. I know what he's done as a coach, and he's a high school coach, his son, just like Kirby. He doesn't have near the team that he's starting out with that Kirby started out with. But, you know, we got a big head start him. But what's the guy's name?
This is Brian.
Brian, who would you rather play against, Coach Jones or Coach Pruitt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
No, and I'm with you there.
Nothing against Jones, but come on, man. What is that deal?
come on, man.
But Pruitt, I mean, he's gone out and hired some really good coaches.
Yes.
And
the recruiting, I'll tell you this, the recruiting since that staff has arrived in Knoxville has been relentless. I completely expected that. That's just his style. That's how that
Well, you give him a lot of credit for the classes that we ended up with after 13 and 14. Yep. And Bobo, too. People don't realize the way Bobo, you talk about being quarterback coach, but – hey, look at Trent Thompson. Look at some of the guys that he's recruited here. Gurley and Marshall and those guys. I mean, Kirby, he could go get them. I mean, Kirby can go get them, and Bobo can too.
Well, not only that, you have a situation where we can recount the number of times that Mike Bobo went head to head with Kirby Smart and came away a winner. Malcolm Mitchell pops to mind. You know, there's some guys that, you know, Jay Rome. There's some guys they went head-to-head, and, you know,
and
Mike Bobo's.
Part of that, too, again, excuse me for interrupting, is if Kirby's at Georgia and Mike's at Alabama, I mean, those Georgia kids, if you do what you're supposed to, we're going to get a majority of them.
Yeah, but to answer Brian's question, my thought is Jeremy Pruitt has seen the way Florida State works. He's seen how Alabama works. He's seen how Georgia works. You know, the guy has – he's always been kind of my first example of a rising star.
Yeah.
The guy that goes from, you know, coaching first grade PE, you know, teaching kids to tie their shoes, to now being the head coach of Tennessee. The guy knows what works. He's relentless, and he's hired a staff of very good recruiters and coaches. I don't know the answer to the question until we see who they wind up landing, because Georgia has a built-in advantage when it comes to recruiting. Like you said,
they got to leave the state.
Exactly. They have to leave the state now. Will they be more successful than the previous coaches? Yes.
But you look at Coach Fulmer.
I think Georgia's got too much of a head start and a built-in recruiting advantage for him to be able to do the same thing.
But you look at Fulmer, though, you look at the base that he looked at. He looked at Steele and he looked at Tucker and also Jeremy Pruitt. So he was wanting to bring some toughness into that program. Yep. There's no question about that. That was the
real – and they'd gotten away from that.
When you scored 3 points in the fourth quarter in 8 games total, come on, man.
I think with Pruitt, Brian, as the last chime in here, I think that I think he's going to change that program for the better. Do I think it's going to get to Georgia's level? Not as fast, definitely. I think that he's got to get in, build some classes, as these guys have said. But I think that Jeremy Pruitt is going to elevate that. I really think Tennessee fans have a lot to be excited about with him at the helm, especially after going through, you know, that debacle of a coaching search. He's a guy who really establishes, I think, some respect back into your program, brings an edge to it. You're not going to have a bunch of
brick by brick and all that stuff. You know, I think catchphrases are out the window.
Champion of life.
Less slogans, more wins.
Maybe chop the wood.
But you look at the new coaches that have come into the league since all this has transpired. I would say, obviously, Jimbo Fisher's won a national championship. But I got to look at as Pruitt being the second hire, right there with Mullen, because Mullen has won, but they both have backgrounds of winning programs. But some of these guys they've hired, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Let's jump into
the guy at Fordham did a good job. I liked him, but I was surprised at some of the other hires that were made.
Rusty Lynn, good question here about the college football playoff. A big thing a lot of people have been debating. He says, Coach, do you feel it was right that Alabama's in the playoff even though they lost to Auburn?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Alabama, if you look back at the 6 weeks that we had the coach, every meeting they had and the guy came up, Alabama was one or two to that point all meetings. Every time they put them up there, they were one or two. So based on the body of work, they thought that they were one of the best two teams in the country until they lost to Auburn. So you can't make that big a fall to six or seven. So I think they're one of the best four. I guarantee you, if I'm coaching against any of those teams, I don't want to play Alabama unless it's for the national championship. I mean, I like our draw. I think Oklahoma's a tough team, but, you know, you got to beat two. You got to win two. Yep. I mean, so Alabama deserves to be in there.
I just don't understand all the Ohio State. You lost two.
You can't lose by 31 points.
Yeah, and there's a lot of one-loss teams out there. I mean, and to me, Wisconsin was the one that was hosed the most. They go 12-0, have to play a championship game, which a lot of conferences don't, and they lose it, and then, oh, you're completely out. I'm like, wait a minute. They're 12-1 just like all these other teams. Why the hell
is
this
after the fact now, but I agree. But I think you need to look at the whole point of how they looked at the whole season.
No, I'm with you.
Alabama, in my opinion, the Pittsburgh Steelers of this group, you know, you don't ever want to be facing Alabama in this setting in the playoff.
No, and
unless you're playing for the big old cheesecake.
Yeah, that's right.
I like to be playing them at our home place over there, too.
Oh, man. Mike Getchell asked, he wants a Justin Fields update. Is he signing in December or February?
Well, that's still pretty up in the air. You know, I've heard it going both ways. I've heard that it's possible that he will sign early. My feeling is that he is going to sign early and not enroll early. Now, the possibility exists that he could still do both or do neither. You know, there's a big onus on him to stay around and play baseball for Harrison. He's one of their best players, if not the best player on the team.
Well, the best in the nation.
I mean, he's a fantastic player on that baseball team. So it would be big for his squad to get him back. I know they'd love to have him. You know, I don't know that Justin's the kind of kid that cares a great deal about the whole idea of, you know, the sentimental nature of finishing high school and all of that. So I do think he's going to sign early. That's my prediction. I think he's going to go ahead and get it done, kind of shut this thing down. But even if he doesn't, I really don't have any concerns about Fields at this point. I know a lot of people do with all the visits that he's got going on, but I'm not very concerned
at this
point.
It's the end of the world. Mark Johnson asks, is South Carolina possibly hiring KJ Henry's father as a 10th assistant, and is that a recruiting violation? I'm pretty sure you can't do that.
Right? Well, here's the deal now. You're not supposed to be able to hire the high school coach, but he doesn't coach at his school.
Oh, that's right.
That's true.
He coaches at Charlotte.
Yep, that's right.
So you can't say that that's a that's a deal there. I mean, I wouldn't think that's a violation because the guy's a college coach.
I thought they were the same school. So,
well, yeah. He hired Bentley. They didn't do anything about that.
Yeah, that's right. But well, and I think that was just before that rule was instituted. Yeah. But I do you know, something
hey,
like
we
that.
Still got a shot at Henry. I mean, that'd be good.
I think so, too. It wouldn't surprise me, though. You know, KJ's dad, a very well-respected coach in the area, a guy who's done some good things there at UNC Charlotte. So, yeah, he's probably in line, you know, to step up to a positional coach job at a higher place. And, you know, is it compelling to follow your dad? Yeah, always.
Does Kate Mays' father coach somewhere?
I bet Jeremy Pruitt wishes he did.
I'm asking for a friend.
Hey,
not Will Friend, though.
Cade Mays' father was a great player there, but who knows?
Yeah.
But you got to use your chips. I mean, Muschamp's trying to build that place up. He's got to hire an offensive coordinator. We just saw the coordinator from University of Missouri get the Central Florida job, Josh Heupel. Willie Martinez is going back to Central Florida as the
DB coach.
DB coach.
Larry Logan says, what are the chances Georgia getting Cade Mays and Micah Parsons? Parsons is an interesting scenario, mostly because he's so connected to the state of Pennsylvania.
Tell people who that is.
Micah Parsons, 5-star, number one defensive end in the nation. Just an absolute freak. Plays all across the field, a guy who does a little bit of it all, but primarily known for his pass rush. Premier in that regard. From the Pennsylvania area, in the end, I think most people still feel it's going to be Penn State. He's been between them and Ohio State for some time. Georgia, with a little bit of wiggle room in there, may get a visit. I don't see it for him in the end. I do think Mays a very real possibility, mostly because you're going to have Hill, Erickson, and the uncommitted Jamari Sellier in town this weekend.
Why'd you do air quotes? For the people who are listening to the podcast, when you said Jamari Sellier, he did air quotes around uncommitted.
Look, the thing about it is I keep running into these guys and talking to these guys, and the Freudian slips keep happening of like, oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be me and Trey and Jamari, and we're all going to be recruiting together. And I'm like,
really?
Wait, why? You know, why would you recruit together?
Oh, Trey coming back this weekend, too?
Trey will be back this weekend. I did ask him that last night. He will be back this weekend working on their behalf. I think that that's going to be a big thing for Georgia to have those guys.
You always like it when those guys come back for another to help you after they've already committed.
They need to get that order into champions early.
Yes.
Because if you're going to have Sawyer popping up here and Mays and then
Hill, they come in here to eat.
Yeah,
if they had any sense, they would.
Well, I think, you know, the recruiting visits are always catered, and so they'll go down to 5-bar and eat down there. But
Chuck Ward wants to know, will Fields be in town too? We are expecting him as well. Yes. So any commit that can be there, I'm expecting will be. Owen Condon's coming for his official visit as well.
The other advantage of playing in a bowl game, and particularly a championship game, is let's just say a guy is not privy to coming down here much like these other guys. We're going to have practice on Friday and Saturday. Guys can go out and watch them practice and get a comparison, visualize how they would look in that lineup there. You know, hey, these are the guys. I remember we used to bring them in for bowl practice and go meet with the secondary coach, meet with the defense, it was good.
I like this question, Coach, from Mitchell Davis. Says, what's the biggest challenge for Georgia in the Rose Bowl?
Make sure Roquan gets to the game. I keep saying that, but, I mean, this is going to be a big challenge for us. I think offensively Oklahoma presents a real, real big situation there, and I think one of the things that's going to help us is Stetson Bennett, a quarterback of the future here at Georgia, who really has shown a lot of promise out there in practice, is a little bit shorter than Mayfield, but he's a very good move around type guy, and he's got a good arm and he's accurate. He'll do a tremendous job emulating him in practice. And the thing we're going to have to do is contain him, just make sure we keep him in the pocket to the most part. And we've got to be able to play the two big runs. They run the inside zone and the counter. And with that, they build in these RPOs behind them where they slip this Andrews guy. Let me tell you something. Oklahoma has, of the top 11 players in the country on offense that were selected by everybody, they got three unanimous All-Americans. Their left tackle, Orlando Brown, their quarterback, the Heisman Trophy winner, and Baker Mayfield, and Mark Andrews, their tight end, won the Mackey Award. So those three guys are really good. Their wide receivers are very good. They lost Westbrook last year, who won the Biletnikoff Award. But they got two good guys on the outside. Hollywood Brown can go deep and hurt you. But as far as his answer, we got to be able to stop the run good enough where Roquan can get back underneath and stop this in the two deep coverage that we like to play some, Andrews out of that area. And then offensively, we got to get the ball in space because they give up a lot of rushing yards, but hopefully it'll be a situation where we can, control the ball. But I look for us. People talk about our ground game, but we're an explosive offensive team. I mean, we make a lot of big runs, a lot of big passes, and I think we can do that. comparatively speaking, everybody talks about Big 12, you know, as an offensive league, SEC is a defensive league. They're number one in the nation in certain areas. This guy's hitting 71% of his passes. We're fourth in pass defense, first in, you know, whatever it might be. But it's good against good. You know, we got to get a pass rush. We got to play the ball in the air. And let's see, we get a couple breaks like we did in the Auburn game where they screw up a little bit and turn the ball over.
Mitchell Davis here with a question for you, Coach.
I had to take a breath, man. I gave you everything I had right there.
I think I think this one.
Somebody get the man a new founder's beer here.
I like to think that I know your answer on this, but he says, will a pass rush affect Baker Mayfield?
Of course it will. That's but what the I problem thought. Is you got to be a controlled rush because he's so good. You don't make the comparison to Johnny Manziel because they're different a little bit because I think he has a stronger arm, but maybe not quite. Who knows about it? It's hard to compare. But you got to make sure that you don't let him break some good runs on you and keep the chains moving. You know, this is a team that went to Ohio State and completely destroyed Ohio State's defense, who held Ohio State to 167 yards rushing. At the big house, so I mean, at the big horseshoe. So the big thing there is, very capable offensive team. Defensively, they give up some points, but the thing that's been impressive to me watching them is, first half they've really struggled a little bit, but the second half of the game they make good adjustments and they've shut down some teams in the second half. So we got to have a little bit of stuff that we hold for the second half and throw it at them, and I think it'll be good.
All right, we got another question here, kind of just out in the ether here. Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie, we should have offered you, Ronnie.
He says, in your opinion, all three of you, do you think Chubb and Michelle is the best duo of running backs in college football history? I'm going to defer to you on this one because you've got a lot more experience in college football history than I do.
Well, I mean, you've got Doc Blanchard and that situation where they both won the Heisman Trophy, didn't they? Two guys at Army. What was the other one's name? Blanchard and Davis. So it's hard to say they're the best ever, but I don't think anybody's ever done that from the same backfield. But I guarantee you, for what they've done for this program, to come back, to sacrifice, to be part of a team and give the leadership, in my mind, they've done a tremendous job, and I wouldn't make that comparison, say the best in history. But as far as Georgia history, as far as what they've done for our program and elevate us back up along with the other seniors, I think the senior class deserves a lot of credit.
Over the last 4 years, I think it's hard to say that there are many tandems that have meant as much to a program.
Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams.
Sure.
That's one-two punch.
Alabama, they had Henry and Drake and
Mark Ingram.
All those guys in the same back.
Jesus,
so, I mean, you had Ingram and Henry, both those guys won Heisman. So, I don't know. Hey, Jeremy Pruitt recruited Henry.
And I love – hey, I'm a big fan of that old SMU Craig James, Eric Dickerson backfield as well. I thought that was a
really – it was good. They had some – IRAs in there too. You know what that was?
No.
Craig James said, "You give me some money, and I really appreciate it."
Hey, I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Hey, they got plenty of it now. The Pony Express.
Let's see. Yes. Ab Harding says, "I want to be like Jim Donnan when I grow up."
How old are you, Ab? Hey, old coach, I'm going to have a birthday here. I'm going to hit 73, man.
Ab Harding also says, didn't Bryce Love almost commit to Georgia? Yes, he actually did. Georgia was pursuing him very hard. Bryce Love, out of Stanford.
He's from North Carolina, too.
He was, yeah. And Georgia was pursuing him very hard. Was one of the first guys I talked to when I got into this business. So, great interview, very smart kid.
Hey, let me tell you
excited
something.
To see his success.
You talk about a guy that projects with that smile and the way he handles the press. A lot like Sony does, you know. I mean, it just makes you feel good to know that a guy like that's representing college football. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
He just looks you in the eye and he talks and the guys. I mean, how many you go to a kid that's going to be going to the doctor? Who are you going to see? I'm going to see Dr. Love. He's going to be a pediatrician, Dr. Love. I got to feel good about that, man.
Absolutely.
Only better name is Feel Good after that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel good. Yeah. Dr. Feel Good.
Dr. Feel Good, yeah.
That's pretty good.
There's been a song or two about that.
Now, we're coming up on the end here. I know everybody wants a Switzer story. I know you got one for us this week.
You know, I got a lot of grief from some of my Oklahoma fans as far as giving everybody from Georgia some of the stuff about the old Switz, you know. Next week we'll hit Switzer a little bit better.
There, all right.
I don't want to.
The statute of limitations
stuff
has run out about that. But you mentioned Harbaugh earlier. And there's no statute of limitations.
Well,
yet.
You know, there was a guy. You know, the Michigan game this year was at Michigan and Ohio State, and this guy had this dog at the game. Now, you don't usually see a dog unless it's a mascot. And the game is sitting up in the stands, and the guy said, "What are you doing with the dog here?" He said, "Well," I said, "just said this dog is the biggest Michigan fan. Said he loves to come here to the big house." He said, "Really?" And so in the first quarter, that dog that Michigan scored, you know, and went out and got ahead, and the dog got up and started barking and doing it. He said, "What's the deal here?" He said, "Golly," he said, "this Michigan fan, every time he scored a touchdown," he said, "this dog just goes crazy for Michigan." I said, "Man, that's impressive." And then the game goes back and forth, and halftime, the dog's up there just barking. He said, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, "Hey, this dog just loves it when Michigan's winning against Ohio State. It's going crazy." He said, "God, I can't believe that." He says, "What does a dog do when they win?" He said, "I don't know. He's only 5 years old."
Oh, brutal.
Ow.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
So we'll be sending that one to Brent Noon, the publisher at our Ohio State site. He will share that with his fan base.
Don't send that out.
No, we'll
That's just for Georgia people only. But it's a good joke.
No, it's a great one. It's a great one. I'd say we wrap it on that one. Guys, make sure to tune in next week. We will be doing our year-end wrap-up show. Be looking for details on exactly when we're going to do this thing, because you got the early signing period next week. So we may end up bumping this thing around a little bit. Just stay tuned to 11 Alive Sports. If you like this page, you'll get all the updates on that. We'll make
sure to get some people to share this thing, too.
Yeah. If you share it, we've got a print for you. We're going to pick three people out of all the people that shared. We're going to send that to you free. It's a $40 value. I want to give you one last reminder to bring a pair of toys for Toys or Tots. Bring them here to Champions on Baxter. You'll get either free fried jalapenos, which Jake will eat every one of them and die later, or get the fried pickles.
Those both are excellent.
So swing by here, pick that up. You have until the 15th, and then they got to turn in all the toys. So
while you're here, get you the sausage, cheese, pickles, maybe some buffalo wings.
If you touch that again, you're fired. You just leave that alone. Shout out to Athens Ford, Your Pie, Founders Brewing, Cable East, choking up there, 365 Game Day, and 11 Alive. Be sure you like the 11 Alive page, and go ahead and subscribe to this in iTunes, and we will talk to you guys next week.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Adios.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast.
Bueno.
Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.